Amen. Amen. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Over the past several weeks, if you're a guest here today, just to let you know, we've been walking through verse by verse through the book of 1 Corinthians. And in doing so, what it does is it really forces me to discuss or to talk about things that maybe I wouldn't pick on my own. And this morning is one of those. We will be talking specifically about Paul and him laying down a right. And what this is it's an example of what we discussed last week. If you were here last week in chapter 8, there was a letter written to Paul by the church. They were asking some specific questions, and one of their questions was about meat offered to idols. Should we eat it? Now, that's not necessarily something that we deal with in our time. When we go to the supermarket and buy meat, you probably don't think, you know, hey, was this offered to an idol before you buy it? And so what we did was we used similar situations in our own life. What do we do about things that maybe the Bible doesn't give us clarity on or very specifics about should we do this or not? And we kind of called these the gray areas. It was an equal offense opportunity for everybody, right? I tried to hit everything so that we all kind of get a few of our toes smashed a little bit. But we tackled things like alcohol or gambling or, you know, social media, things that obviously the Bible is not super clear on. What do we do with those? How do we navigate as believers when even the Bible talks about maybe parts of it, but we don't have a full picture of how can we bring honor to God in every aspect of life? And I think that in every situation, it's going to be different. And so there might be a different answer to those questions as we encounter situations. But we got to be willing to ask the questions. And so that's what we talked about last week. Well, here, Paul is just continuing on the discussion. He ultimately gave us some truths that we can apply, that every decision that we make affects the people next to us. And so even though as Christians we are free, we have liberties, we have rights or things in Christ that we are not bound, every Christian freedom must be governed by love. In other words, the decisions I make, I must be willing to think about, could this cause someone to stumble? Could this affect my brother who maybe is a weaker Christian who doesn't understand the full depths of this decision? And we must be willing to ask that. And so now what he is doing here in chapter 9 is he's giving an example of he has the right to do something, but he's going to lay down that right for the sake of the gospel. And so ultimately, as you see, what we're ultimately going to do is we've got to prioritize God's kingdom. This is one of our core values that we as a church have identified. You'll see it on our wall, prioritizing God's kingdom. And as we prioritize God's kingdom, it may or he may cause us to lay down something for the sake of a brother or for the sake of the gospel. And so because of that, we will dive in and seek to understand. So today, Paul is ultimately talking about how he has the right to earn money or to earn a paycheck for the gospel ministry, okay? But he ultimately will say that he lays down that right. And so as we today talk about money, I think it's very important that we have a right understanding about money or our finances. If we, you and I, have surrendered our lives to the Lord, then I think it's important for us to understand that we've surrendered everything to him. We've been bought with a price. We understand that every good gift comes from the Lord, and so everything is his. You know, a lot of people want to talk about how tithing is an Old Testament principle, and we're going to look into this and dive into it. But I want to tell you that New Testament is actually you surrender everything. And so you may say, well, you know, the Old Testament talks about a tenth, but the New Testament, in which we're going to look at, Jesus actually affirms the tenth. But we can see in examples of New Testament, specifically the first church, that there were people who came and gave everything for the sake of the gospel. And I believe that sometimes God will lead us to do things. This is why it's important, as Drew led us in singing, we depend on God. And we reach this place where we see that if we seek first his kingdom, everything we need is going to be given to us. And so he is faithful. And I know that today it's going to be a deep, or at least a hard, understanding of God's truths. But I believe that as we do, there is freedom that is found. And also there are blessings that come from that, that far surpassed financial blessings. And so let us dive in. If you have your Bibles, if you don't mind, if you're able to stand with me as we read God's word, we will start in verse 1 of chapter 9. We will read about halfway, and we'll tackle the second half next week, all right? Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord? Are not you my workmanship in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. So Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth. He started the church there. These are people he loves. These are people who have believed in Jesus because of his preaching of the gospel. And so he's telling them, you guys know who I am. You're partakers of the gospel because of the ministry. Verse 5, do we not have the right to take along a believing wife or as do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? Do I say these things on human authority? Does not the law say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for oxen that God is concerned? Does he not certainly speak for our sake? It was written for our sake because the plowman should plow in hope and the thresher thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. You hear the purpose of him writing these things is that, man, let the gospel of Christ be what is lifted up above all things. Let there not be an obstacle of anything. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing these things to secure any such provision, for I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of my ground of boasting. For if I preach the gospel that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessary it laid upon me, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. God, we thank you so much for your word. We praise you, Lord, for the heart of Paul as he talks about these things. Help us, Lord, to understand and to see the good things that you have given us and how we can prioritize your kingdom in our lives. And Lord, bring you honor and glory in everything we do, every act, every word. Help us, Lord, to seek you first and to trust you for everything else. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. One of the things in our culture that we do is everything, or so many things, we put about security and comfort and safety. And so this is why we have insurance. This is why we think of every possible liability or something that could happen, and we try to protect against those things. And Some in many of these situations, obviously wisdom comes into play. Others have this law of the land and the way of insurance. But we must be careful that we do not do anything that would require faith in a God who owns all things and who has all power and authority. These can become false securities. Finances in and of themselves, if we are not careful, we will start to stash away things so that we have some sort of security that if anything happened, we would be able to cover it. Again, some of those things are just very wise. Others of them are acts that we place upon ourselves to make sure, and really what we do is we rob ourselves from experiencing the faithfulness of God. I look around the room and I not only know several stories of you and your walks with Christ and the faithfulness as you have given and tithed and surrendered to Him. I think of different ministries even that are represented to, here in this room that solely depend upon the Lord. And what an amazing, as we could have testimony after testimony of how God is faithful, owns all things, and takes care of those who trust Him. And so here, as Paul talks about these things, it is my goal that maybe we have a healthy understanding of finances. But more so, even as he talks about the love or this for the sake of the gospel, that you and I would reach a place in our lives that we would prioritize his kingdom and the proclamation of the gospel so much that it rises above everything else in our lives, that we would be fully surrendered to Jesus. So, as you can tell, we have a lot to get through, so let's dive in. All right? First, we must answer or at least talk about, as Paul gives us reasons why he should or it is his right to be paid for the gospel. First off, I'll tell you this is a little uncomfortable talking about because for me as a minister of the gospel, I know where I get my paycheck from, right? And it's really hard for me over the years as a in the ministry. It's always been hard for me to think about that. And actually, it is 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that it has brought me great comfort, or at least in helping to defend to myself, okay, work hard. Do it as though you're doing it for the Lord, and it is good that it's good to understand where my paycheck comes from, but also very humbling. And what I mean by that is there is a great responsibility that I have then in my job to know that it comes from the Lord, but ultimately it comes from gifts that people have given to the Lord. And so what's helped me in my own giving is to understand what it is. I don't give to the church. I give to God through the church. Does that make sense? Like, it is a return of what is already the Lord's, but I have to see it as everything is His. And so when I see my life, everything is yours, Lord. I've surrendered it all. What do you want me to do with it? Then I can do it out of obedience and I can do it with great joy. Does that make sense? And so here Paul is given reasons. So he first off, and he talks about that he is an apostle. In other words, he's talking about the call that is upon his life. And I just want you to know that the call and the weight of being a leader of a church is one that I can never fully explain. It is one that the weight comes and hits at different times. It is one that the responsibility at times is overwhelming, and I don't know where the next strength or help will come from, but he is so faithful. And so it is one that I know that I could never walk away from. It is one that I know and believe, and hopefully it is one that is built upon trust and also that responsibility. So here Paul is explaining that, and he's saying, listen, I've seen Jesus as he talks about that moment in which transformation happened, right, on the road to Damascus. It is this moment where he even points to the church and he says, you are byproducts of that life that has been transformed. He talks about that he has the right to take a wife, and I don't know really why he threw that in there, but I think he just wants them to know, like, I could settle down. I would have the right to do that, but instead I have surrendered it all to follow Christ and to make him known. I think he's talking about his missionary heart and journey that he has. He talks about common practices. There's common practices in life. People get paid for what they do. He talks about a soldier and how a soldier doesn't go fight his battle and pays for it all himself. No, he receives a wage. He talks about how farmers go and they plow expecting a payment for the work that they've done. Shepherds go and they watch the flock. And as they watch the flock, at the very least, they know they're going to be able to get milk every morning. Hopefully they get paid more than that, right? But he's talking about everyday practices, even pointing to the law of God and how the law of God, and in Moses, he quoted Deuteronomy 25, and he says, "You shall not muzzle the ox while it is threshing." I saw a beautiful picture of this in Ethiopia where tiff is the grain that they gather and grow, and they would lay it in a circle, and then they would have the ox or the cow walk over it to thresh it, which means they're trying to separate the grain from the, chaff, if you will. And so they're saying they don't muzzle the ox. They let him eat even while he's working. He gets benefit of that. He talks about the temple practices. You can see that in verse 13 where he says even those who work in the temple or employed in the temple, they get food from the temple. And those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings. Like, they get paid for the work in which they are doing. And even talking about the Jesus' teachings, he says, and even the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. He's probably pointing to the teaching of Jesus in Luke chapter 10. He's sending out the disciples two by two as they go into a town and they're received. They should enter in the home and allow, he says, let them feed you. Let them take care of you because you deserve to be paid for the work that you are doing. And so you can see Paul's explanation. He should be taken care of. And as we're going to see, there is cautions in that, though. We must caution against extravagance. I think it is as we seek first the kingdom, all these things will be added to you. We're not, and it should not be extravagant wages. It should be wages that take care of and show honor. But to get there, I think that what he's talking about is how could he be paid? Well, he's paid through the contributions and tithes that are given through the local church. And so, for you and for me, let's unpack this a little bit. What is tithing? As we look at what tithing is, first off, we see that the word itself means tenth. So, I explained it like this. I use these words intentionally. Returning the first 10% of our income to God. The word returning is important here because our belief is everything comes from the Lord. Amen? And so if everything is His, I've surrendered my life to Him, then everything is His. And so then what He has asked for is for 10%. And you say, what do you mean what He has asked for? Well, He has told us that if we will give Him the first and the best, then ultimately the promise is that He will bless the rest of it. So it is that the promise is that God is saying that the 90% with the blessing of God will far outweigh the 100% without it. Okay? And you say, well, what do you mean? What is the blessing of God? Well, I think it's far more than material blessing. I think it, although it comes as that, just to give you a short testimony, and this has happened throughout our marriage. We had, when I was called to ministry, we couldn't afford our house and we wanted to get closer where we're at, so we sold it. Then the Lord moved us, and so we were seeking to buy a home. I remember we just found out that Lindsay was pregnant with Allie, our first, and so we were looking for a home. We found one. It was in foreclosure. It was rough. We bought it. I think the sell price was 70 or 75, something like that. I remember going to closing and them telling us what our monthly payment was going to be, and Lindsay began to weep, and she walked out of the room, and I'm sitting there like, well, do I sign? Do I not sign? What do I do? And the reason is because we thought that the payment was going to be less. And for her, it was, I don't know how we're going to do this. And I didn't either. But I knew that this is what the Lord wanted us to do. So we did. we had already decided that we wanted her to be able to stay home, and we knew that that would bring sacrifice. And so as you can imagine, as we now are living in this home, we have this payment that weren't expecting. She's staying home, which means she's now not working, which she had been up to that point. We were paid, I was the first full-time youth pastor of this church, which means they paid very little, and we're left with, okay, each week at the pay, we said, we had to come to this place where, God, we trust you. We don't know, the math doesn't add up, but we trust you. And so it would come, we would give the very first 10%, which means as it came to the end, we were just going to have to, by faith, say, I hope it works out. You can say, that's not very wise. I can tell you every single time. And you go, how? And I can just tell you. Sometimes it would be someone just invited us over to eat, which means that we didn't have to make food at home. Sometimes it would be that something we weren't expecting came in at just the right time. Other times something would break down, and I remember just crying out to the Lord, Lord, we don't have it. And he would supply. I became really good at YouTube and trying to fix things myself. I mean, these things, I'm just telling you. And listen, we look back at it and you can say, you had to sacrifice. No, it was a time that grew our faith so much because God is faithful. And I can with confidence tell you in no matter what situation. As you know, missions has been upon my heart. And I remember my very first international, going to be a big mission trip is to Ethiopia. And I remember sending out letters and I didn't feel comfortable. And I just decided after that, I'm never sending out letters anymore. And I just said, Lord, I'm just going to pray, but I believe you sent me to go. And so trip after trip, I tell you, we didn't even know how we were paying payments, but trip after trip, I would just say, God, you've called me to go on this trip. I trust you. I didn't send out letters. He just supplied. And I just want to tell you, there is a confidence now to just say he is faithful. And so when we come, I know life situations. And that's why it is not and it can't be someone talking you into something. It has to be between you and God. No one checks up on those things around here. No one knows those things. I'm just telling you, I'm going to point you to some of the truths and promises God gives. And he keeps his promises. Amen? All right. So please don't, this is not another pastor asking for your money. We're in chapter 9. That's what Paul's talking about. Okay, here we go. I love the promise. Don't give to the church. Give back to God. Return to God through the church. So first one, tithing. What is it? Return the first and the best. Trust him. Here's his promise. In Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Man, the promise is that God will take care of you. It doesn't mean you're going to be exorbitantly wealthy. It just means he is going to take care. Tithing, it provides for God's work through the church. I have a short video I want us to see. As a part of the cooperative program, we as the church give some of our funds, and I want you to just see real quick where it goes.
When you give your tithes to your church on Sunday, your giving is an act of worship and obedience to the Lord. But when you give, did you also know that you are giving to advance the gospel around the globe, across the nation, in our state, and in your neighborhood? It's true when your church gives through the cooperative program. Here's how it works. To make this easy to follow, let's say you give $10 to your church on a Sunday morning, and your church has decided to send 10% of that money through the cooperative program. $9 of the money you give will remain at your church to be used in support of your church's gospel ministry, staff, facilities, and many other ministries in your community. And $1 of your gift is sent on an amazing journey through the cooperative program, fueling a broad range of important ministries everywhere. The first 42 cents of that dollar stay right here with Oklahoma Baptists, funding our shared ministries. If you have been to Falls Creek or Cross Timbers, participated in BCM on campus, or witnessed the Oklahoma Baptist Disaster Relief Team and other ministries, then you've seen the cooperative program in action. The next 15 cents of your dollar continues on to Oklahoma Baptist University, Water's Edge, Oklahoma Baptist Homes for Children, Baptist Village Communities, serving our orphans, widows, and equipping future Christian leaders. The next 43 cents of your dollar is allocated through the Southern Baptist Convention, which uses 2 cents to support the ministries of the convention and forwards the rest on. 9 cents goes to our 6 Southern Baptist seminaries to train up our future pastors and missionaries. 10 cents goes to the North American Mission Board to help plant churches, coordinate sin relief, and bring the gospel to our nation through evangelism. And 22 cents goes to the International Mission Board to send and support more than 3,500 missionaries around the globe. But we're talking about more than just $1. When your giving is combined with the gifts given through nearly 1,800 Oklahoma churches and 50,000 SBC churches across the nation, the impact of the cooperative program is multiplied because we work and give together. Giving through the cooperative program is the one thing we can all do that impacts everything we do as Oklahoma Baptists. Thank you for your faithful giving.
One of the things I will say is that we've got to be careful that even though we know that part of our giving goes to those things, that does not remove the responsibility of us to be a part of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth and planting churches. And so I believe that God has us and he equips us and he has gifted us to be able to do that. And so as we give to the Lord, what it does is we provide through or for God's work through the local church. And it also teaches us to depend upon God. As I mentioned in our testimonies, is that there is a faithfulness that you experience as you trust in the Lord. And by giving the first, it requires faith. You know, a lot of times we give out of the overflow, and I think that practically speaking, that really takes no faith. But if we give on the front or the first, we are ultimately saying, God, we trust you. We ask you to, we're putting into practice the promises that you have. A while ago, I mentioned Jesus' teachings. There was a moment in which he pointed to the Pharisees and he called them hypocrites because they tithed on the very minute things like mint, dill, and cumin. This is in Matthew 23:23. And he ultimately says that they have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You see, it's one thing just to say, well, look, I do, I give, or I'm a part of those things. And it's not to gain favor with God as if, but it's to say, God, here's my whole life. And so when we talk about the promises of God, he tells us that he will take care of us. And in talking about, even in Malachi 3 is a passage where he's talking about robbing from God and the gifts and in the contributions. And ultimately, the Lord said that he would bless. Down in verse 9, it says, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. He says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Ultimately, he is saying that here, trust me and watch me be faithful. And so, as we talk about this, and even tells us to put him to the test, I want to challenge you as you come to just ask the Lord, Lord, is this something that you would lead me to do? I trust you with all things. Here is my whole life. As Paul is writing this, he ultimately would say in verse 12, he says, nevertheless, all of these rights I have to be paid, he says, nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure everything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel. Or even in verse 19 and following, he says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all." Here is what Paul is saying. I, as a leader, as a man called by God, I have made myself a servant to everyone. I'm not going to be selfish. I'm not going to be prideful. I'm not going to hoard finances, but instead, I am a servant for the sake of the gospel that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside law. Listen to 22. He says, "To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." Here is the heart that Paul says, "Listen, I have this right." And you may say in all areas of life, "I have this right. I'm of age. I can do what I want. I can go to these places. I can partake in this. I can whatever you want to do. You're free. You can do that." But what he's saying is, but instead, there is a kingdom of God that's at stake. And if it in any way hinders the power of the gospel for people to be saved, I will lay down that right. Amen? And so you and I, as we look and seek to understand God's word, there is a truth and promises that he wants us to live out. And so, as a core value, we are called to live truth. And as we live truth, specifically in the area of our finances and our life, it will teach us to depend upon God. As we depend upon God, we will experience his faithfulness, and it will just cause us to grow in our love for our God, which in turn will lead us to love others for the sake of the gospel. And so because I love you and because I love my brothers and sisters in Christ, I will gladly lay down those rights, right? And so in doing so, I will be about his mission, which is to make disciples to the ends of the earth. And as I make disciples, I will be reminded of my need to prioritize his kingdom. So here at First Baptist, this is what we stand upon. This is who we are. It is based upon the promises of God, and it is making sure that we structure every part of our life where we will depend upon him and be a part of what he's doing around the world. I love how Paul has given us an example in his leadership. As a spiritual leader, I've told you the responsibility and the weight of that, and it becomes great. But I want to tell you that here as I look at Paul, look at some of the things that we see as a biblical leader. We see an obedient heart. Here the Lord laid it upon his heart not to take, at least in this case, a payment for what he was doing. Because the gospel, this was a church plant, maybe it would have been a burden upon them financially, whatever the case, he was obedient. I pray that I too will be obedient. One of the things that people want to do just in the life of church is, you know, the church here, I'm proud of our church. I believe they take very good care of our staff. I think that we've got to be cautious against extravagance in the days ahead. But one of the things that I will say is that people want to show their appreciation, especially in moments like funerals or weddings or whatever. For me, this is for me. I can't speak for others, but for me, I just want to say the church takes care of me, and if you want to do something, your words of encouragement are powerful. And so for me, it's really hard for me to accept gifts. I know that. Sometimes I just have to swallow my pride and do that, but I'm just saying that's for me. We see a surrendered heart to Paul. Man, what a great man. I see in John MacArthur just passed away recently. In one of his books, he wrote this: "Ministry for money and personal gain is a prostitution of the calling of the Lord of the church." Men should not be in this position so that they can further their own name or for the sake of finances and some sort of career. This is a calling, and I believe that, and I see that in Paul. Another thing that we see in Paul is a humble heart, which is one of the qualifications of a leader. He is humble. Even the qualifications say that we are to be men who are not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Paul laid down this right and laid down his life. And so what does this mean for us? In the way of application, what does this mean for you? God tells us to put him to the test. Put him to the test in the way that he is faithful, in the way of your giving. Maybe in your life, this is you. Maybe God would lead you to put him to the test and to show that he is faithful. Second question I have for you is, do you prioritize the kingdom of God? I think that it's really easy in our culture to call ourselves Christians and to be more like attenders than we are a part of the army of God. And so you and I are to be about the mission that he has given us. Prioritize his kingdom. Talk to people. Share with people. Show where hope is found. Are you willing to lay down your rights? Man, what a hard question, right? There are some things that we love, we enjoy, but my question is, for the sake of the kingdom, would you be willing to lay it down? And then my last question is, would you surrender everything to Jesus? Here today, as we've talked about money, I want to tell you, God doesn't need your money. He doesn't. He owns everything. Man, and I want to tell you, the church as a whole, big church, is the richest it's ever been. And I want to tell you that the lostness of the world is still great. And so we need to prioritize his kingdom and be about what he is calling us to do. And that will reflect in everything, every aspect of our life. And so as you and I come before the Lord, we must ask ourselves hard questions. I think that we've only got one life to live. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. Maybe it's soon, but you and I should be diligent until he comes. We need to be about the mission that he has given us. And so that means we must ask hard questions. Today, I want you to know that I'm not asking you to give a gift at all, but instead I'm offering you one. We have a God who loves us so much that he sent his one and only son. And he tells us that if we would believe in him, that we could be forgiven of our sin, we could be made new. He tells us this is a free gift. He actually tells us that the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God, a free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, would you be willing to put your faith and your trust in God and partake in the gift that he has given? Let us bow before the Lord. Father, today as we have dove into your word, Lord, we pray that we leave here surrendered to you, reminded that you are faithful and that you are good. I praise you for being such a good God. And Lord, I ask that you would lead us in everything that we do to bring you honor and glory. Help us to trust you and to put our faith in you in every area of our lives. And so God, today, lead us. Oh Lord, lead us. Lead us through the power of your Spirit. Help us to be obedient when you lead us to give, and that, Lord, that we would realize that we've surrendered everything to you. And so, God, here is my life. Use it for your honor, for your glory, all for you. And so, Lord, I pray, show us today. Speak to our hearts. If there's someone here, Lord, that, Lord, you would lead them to surrender their lives to you, I pray that they do today. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.